7 million cars are junked every year in the United States, and 48 billion tin cans are thrown away. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about a decaying world. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. You know, friends, we're getting food that looks better, feels better, tastes better, holds together better, ages better, mixes better, spreads better, pours better, and just maybe kills us sooner. Nutritionists are alarmed that we may be eating more and yet lacking in the very elements of diet that make for good health. The conditioning of processed foods to meet the packaging test, taste test, and consistency test demanded of the manufacturers is a refined art, says one writer. In fact, now I'm quoting from him. He says there are hardeners and softeners, foaming agents and anti-foaming agents, acidifiers and alkalizers, bleaches, coloring agents, thickeners, and so on and on and on ad nauseum. There are often 5, 10, or even more additives in a single food product. That's the quotation, friends. Now, one could have a fascinating time contemplating the future as technology advances more and more. One day, we may even be eating non-food food. But the food picture is only a small part of the changing world that technology is producing. No facet of life escapes the inquisitive probes of the technologist. The belief seems to be that anything nature has done can and should be done better. Many times, of course, the result is a delight. Who would want to trade their new limousine for a four-wheel buggy? Or who would go back to the hard ruts and bogged wheels of T-model touring? Sometimes technology produces life-saving devices also that makes you want to forget the disadvantages. Seat belts, padded dashes, and so on have brought life, really, to millions of people. Yet, right here, we come up against another paradox. Much of modern technology is spent in countering the effects of other technology. Seatbelts are needed because cars go so fast. Water scrubbing agents counteract cleansing agents. Foam wheels soak up oil spills, and so on. In other words, the medicine is sometimes worse than the malady. And today we have cures for the curse of the remedy. Some time ago, a magazine article appeared with a catchy title and containing more than a little truth. It was entitled, Cures That Cause What Ails Us. The author told of having a 5-foot medicine shelf, and almost everything on it was something he had to take to get over what he had taken for what ailed him in the first place. He went on to enumerate other instances of curse and conveniences which cause complications. He pointed out that there are air conditioners which give people pneumonia in August. Vacations that produce fatigue, scratching which makes us itch, exercise to limber us up which makes us stiff. Antibiotics kill weak bacteria so strong ones can get us down. Marriage counselors cause unhappy marriages, he said, by writing articles entitled, Is Yours a Happy Marriage? For folks who had never bothered to wonder about it before. Well, many of the devices and gadgets designed to alleviate life's little distresses often really add to those distresses. Automobiles create bumper-to-bumper traffic jams that make it difficult to get places. Airplanes leave you at airports far removed from your destination. Insect sprays make insects immune to insect sprays. Buy a new chair and the whole living room begins to look shabby. Adopt a baby and your wife has twins. Do it yourself, and you have to get somebody to do it over for you. The moral of this, friends, is simply this. Beware of too many betterments. Beauty aids too lavishly used make girls look unlovely. Hairdressers mess up hair. Shoes ruin feet. Dentists leave us eventually with no teeth at all. Be careful about your personal daintiness, or you'll find out that you really that people don't like. Well, here's one answer to that from the Apostle Peter. He draws a parallel between the last days and the time of the flood in 2 Peter 3:3 and onward. Listen to these words. He says, In the last days perilous time shall come. In the last days men will scoff at religion and live self-indulgent lives, and they'll say, Where is the promise of his coming? All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. All right, now as these people look at the religious and moral climate of the world, they may be tempted to think what things they see around are not much worse than what it's been before. But Peter warns that in taking this view, they lose sight of the fact that there were heavens and an earth long ago, created by God's words out of water and with water and by water. The first world was destroyed. That was by the flood. And what about the world then, friends? Peter continues and said, and the heavens and the earth which are now are kept in store by the word of God, being reserved until the day of judgment for the perdition of ungodly men. Now, friends, how is God going to restore the earth? Peter says it's by the process of fire. He says that that day the heavens will be set on fire and will dissolve with fervent heat. And yet this destruction has a purpose. He says we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You know, the Apollo 10 astronaut streaking for the moon reported that Los Angeles looked like a cancerous smudge down below. High-flying airline pilots tell us that almost every large city of North America is recognizable 70 miles away by its whiskey-brown miasma of polluted air. An article in the Saturday Review contained this startling comment: Lake Erie is dead. The beaches at Santa Barbara are deserted. The air of New York is dangerous to breathe. We're drowning in a sea of swill. In a normal year, the United States produces 142 million tons of smoke and fumes, 7 million junk cars, 20 million tons of waste paper, 48 billion used cans, and 50 trillion gallons of industrial sewage. Now, if you can just imagine that, friends. But you know, long ago, the prophet Jeremiah, sometimes called the prophet of doom, looked far into the future. And he told of a time coming when the earth would be deserted of life. He says, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord. Jeremiah 4:23-26. Now this could well be a commentary on how man destroys the earth, and yet the Bible reminds us that the world is in God's control. He'll send His Son Jesus to redeem His people and to make this world new. When Christ comes, He will destroy those who are destroying the earth. I said a few minutes ago that this is a time to have faith. Actually, the only faith that can guide us into the future is a faith in God. It should not surprise us too much if our best efforts at straightening out the world are only partially successful. Nor should our failure stop us from trying. But every new crisis, each new problem reminds us that the only effective solution to mankind's real need is the Bible answer. Until every man on the earth is a changed person, relating correctly to God and his other fellow earthlings, the world cannot really expect to experience perfection. But the day will come when this most improbable event will occur. Not all will submit to the changing process, but only those who do will remain to live in this purified and glorified earth. God says He'll make the earth new. Right now, the best He can do is make individuals new. And He does this through Jesus Christ. Why not let Him do that for you right now? Actually, we shouldn't be surprised that technology is advancing at the rate it is. And I suppose we shouldn't be too discouraged by the side effects, provided we learn to control them before they kill us. The world is safer and healthier, and we live longer because of the products of science and invention. In fact, when the Bible looks at these last days, it tells us things like this in Daniel 12:4, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, for the prophet, the end of time was seen as a day of vast knowledge increase, a prediction more than fulfilled. We're told that in one day enough research papers are published to fill 7 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica. One of the paradoxes of the Bible is that while it tells of a world decaying through violence, immorality, and financial problems, it also talks of surging scientific knowledge. Yet even this knowledge is no silver-lined cloud. A picture of frustration as men turn back and forth mars the glory of our record-breaking advances. We're fortunate that various watchdog agencies are finding ways of checking the unrestricted use of additives to our food supplies. We can never be sure that they'll find all the harmful ones. We may discover them too late, but at least somebody's trying. But even greater threats hang over this earth of ours. If ever there was a time for faith in God, my friends, this is it. You may have read Jesus' words as recorded by Luke. He says, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Luke 21, verse 6. The previous verse speaks of distress of nations with perplexity. Reliable sources indicate that the United States has about 20 times the atomic weapons needed to wipe out all life in Russia. And Russia, of course, has its own fantastic arsenal. And we just hope that the time will come when all weapons will be banned between these great nations. At least progress is being made in that direction right now. We remember the report out of Washington from the president to destroy the stockpiled chemical biological weapons. And one report said that the arsenal contained 20,000 poison bullets loaded with botulinus bacterium. Now, this poison is so violent that a glassful of it could wipe out most of the population of the United States. Yes, we can breathe easier over that, but we can't feel too relaxed because who knows how many glassfuls of this same poison are stored up in other countries of the world. Yes, you can begin to understand then why the Bible says that this world is growing old like a garment. You might also see the parallel between this world we know and the world of pre-flood days. The scriptures say in Genesis chapter 6 that the thoughts and plans of the people of those times had only evil as their goal. And what does God do when he sees life threatened or the knowledge of his love about to be overwhelmed? Time and again, the Bible records a reaction. At all costs, God is determined to preserve the human race, and he's equally determined to preserve a true knowledge of himself. Yes, friends, you talk about problems and troubles. They are proliferating in this world. Do you know that the atmosphere is being poisoned every day by 6 million tons of waste being poured into the atmosphere? The carbon dioxide count has gone up 14% since 1960. In Paris, France, air scrubbers and downtown streets are trying to purify local patches of atmosphere. But as one critic commented, a few miles away, power plants are pouring out added waste to energize the scrubbers. Well, I'm glad to tell you today the good news is that God has a survival plan. Jesus Christ is coming back the second time to deliver us from these self-destroying ways that have been developed in this planet of ours. Well, I hope you're right for the information we shared with you today about the pollution problem and about the signs of the times. And be sure to give the call letters of this station when you write your letter. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.